So we shall speak a few words about the importance of hearing. Shravanam. Of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, "Tat Shrinu, hear from me." And in Bhagavad Gita, we hear from Lord Krishna in about 700 verses. But Srimad Bhagavatam talks about Krishna. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear about Krishna in about 18,000 verses. So there are two types of Krishna Katha. One is hearing words spoken by Krishna, and the other is hearing words spoken about Krishna. And both types of Krishna Katha are bhavoshadi. They are the panacea that can cure all the diseases of the world, both individually and collectively. The Bhagavatam further explains, Shrinvata Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana, that simply hearing about Krishna itself is a pious activity. Or, as Srila Prabhupada said, that simply hearing about Krishna makes one pious. And therefore, the whole Vedic culture was meant to give people a chance to hear about Krishna. Whenever there would be any event, social event, but to speak of religious event, there would be talks about Krishna. In the villages, people would gather in the evening just to hear talks of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada has described when he was a small child that his parents would go to the suburbs of Calcutta where they had relatives. And every evening there would be some Krishna Katha, some talks about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or Ramayana. And hearing about Krishna, naturally their minds would be filled with thoughts of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada describes as a young child that after hearing the Krishna Katha, he would be lying on his parents' lap in the carriage, and he would be thinking, just as a small child, he would be thinking about what he heard, and he would drift off to sleep thinking about Krishna. Perhaps that gave Srila Prabhupada the idea that we should read the Krishna book in the evening before we take rest, so that our minds are filled with thoughts of Krishna. And even recently, I think in around 1980, I went with His Holiness Lokanath Swami back to his village in Araude in Maharashtra. It was the first time he really went with a full party. And of course, he was like the local hero come home. The village didn't have electricity then, and it was such a small village. I mean, maybe the total population was 3,000 people. But when we gathered to have our program in the town square in the evening, I think at least 2,000 people came. I mean, definitely more than half of the population of the village came. And in Bombay, which has a population of 10 million people, say, it's not that easy to get 2,000 people. You have to make a lot of arrangements to get 2,000 people. So that was the culture. And of course, no electricity meant no radio, no television. Then, now it would mean no VCRs, computers. But that was really a very healthy life. I mean, physically and mentally and spiritually. And I could see the relations among the families, within the families and among the families, were very warm because there were no distractions of radio, television, and so on. So they would, their emphasis was on their relationships with each other and on their relationship with God. And it was really we would, they had no, I don't know what to say in such a polite gathering, but there was no commode in the house. So we would take our lotas in the morning and go out into the fields. And it was a very pure, much more pure than the other system. And although there weren't so many varieties of vegetables, but they were all grown locally, the grains and the vegetables, and they were very tasty, very flavorful. And being in the sun and the fresh air, you know, you had healthy appetite, and it was a very healthy life. And that hearing cleanses the heart. What it actually does is it brings Krishna in the heart. And because Krishna is all pure, so naturally he makes the heart pure when we allow him to enter through the ears, through transcendental sound. Just like Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andakar. Godhead is light and nescience is darkness. So where there's Godhead, there can be no nescience. So where there's Krishna Katha, which means Krishna himself, there can be no Maya or nescience. And superficially, one may think that it's a waste of time. You know, modern people, busy people, you know, it's a waste of time just sitting and hearing. In 1971, Srila Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Goswami and me to Calcutta to arrange the first Pandal program there after we had just completed the first one in Bombay, where His Holiness Lokanath Swami was an honored guest. And at the time, Calcutta was under the sway of Naxalites, Naxalites are young. It was like a young communist. And they would terrorize people. You know, they would set fire to rich people's houses. Sometimes they would kidnap rich people's children and hold them for ransom. It's a terrible situation. Many of the important people from Calcutta were actually leaving, moving to Delhi. Such a terrible situation. So anyway, in that climate, we came to put on the first big Pandal program there for Srila Prabhupada. And before the program began, there was sort of like a press conference at the Pandal site. And the mood of many of the reporters was very challenging, communist. And they asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the point of spending so much money on this program when you could use the same money to feed poor people? And Srila Prabhupada said, the point is to give people a chance to hear. And he said, actually, this huge arrangement that you're seeing here has come just from hearing. I went to the United States, and some young men and women heard. And because they heard, now they have come to India, and they have made the huge arrangement that you're seeing today. So the whole purpose is just to give people a chance to hear. By hearing we get the seed of devotional service, and when we water the seed by chanting, then the seed grows, and it sprouts, it becomes a plant, and it bears flowers and fruits. So superficially it seems that nothing is happening. People are sitting, somebody is speaking, but actually something very powerful is happening. And that is the seed of bhakti is being implanted in the hearts of the listeners. Krishna is actually entering the hearts of the audience through the ears. And it is very powerful. And that is what, you know, cleanses the heart and enables us to develop love for Krishna, feel love for Krishna, and with love for Krishna, love for each other. We were all shocked 2 years ago or so when the airplanes were hijacked and driven into the Twin Towers. And, of course, everyone was horrified. But at the same time, you know, some people were questioning why. Why did this happen and what can we do? And His Holiness Ranganath Swami Maharaj said that the, you know, such terrible acts, such horrible acts of terrorism arise because our hearts are unclean. And no matter what we do to try to improve the situation, unless we cleanse the dirty things from within the hearts of the people, it will come out in the form of violence and other horrible activities. So this very process of hearing, of course, hearing implies that someone is speaking and the rest of us are hearing. But this very process of hearing has the potency to actually change the world. You know, to change the world from the pandemonium of hell into Vaikuntha, into the spiritual world. So, you're fortunate by the grace of Srila Prabhupada to be brought together for the purpose of hearing. And thus we come to the main part of tonight's program, where we will get to hear from His Holiness. Thus ends my introduction to His Holiness Radhanath Swami. Krishna Katha. Hare Krishna. Radhanath Swami Maharaj.
Can we put him in front?
Move this. Move this until the kirtan starts.
Thank you, His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj. It is truly a great fortune to be in the presence of one of the most confidential, intimate associates of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. He was speaking about the importance of hearing about Krishna. But the equal benefit comes by hearing about Krishna's devotees. His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj has such an incredible relationship with Srila Prabhupada. We can speak for hours and days and weeks and months and years and lifetimes on this subject. Coming from very wealthy, aristocratic family, he gave up everything to live in swamps with disease, life-threatening conditions, to serve as Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada spent more time in Bombay after establishing ISKCON than any other single place in the world. He not only put more of his own personal time in Bombay, but he spent the maximum amount of his society's money in Bombay. And he did the most personal preaching in Bombay. And Prabhupada declared publicly that Bombay means Giriraj Swami. You did say that, correct?
Something like that.
Because in Giriraj Swami Maharaj, Prabhupada found someone that he could put his complete trust in, his integrity, in his loyalty, in his dedication, and in his competency. Such an incredible honor for the spiritual master to have that faith in disciple. Srila Prabhupada, wherever he was in the world preaching, he was always in contact and communication with Giriraj Maharaj. And it wasn't just by letters, because he couldn't wait so long to hear from Kitty Ashram.
What was that medium? Western Union? What is it called?
Telegraph.
Telegraphs. When Prabhupada in 1974 was at New Vrindavan, every day he was getting telegrams from Giriraj Maharaj. And he was sending telegrams back to Giriraj Maharaj. Although his body was at New Vrindavan, his heart appeared to be in Bombay with Giriraj Maharaj.
Wondering what next is going to go wrong.
And knowing that Giriraj Maharaj would be there to fix it. So really, it is truly a blessing upon all of us. When such a person who is so loving and dear to Srila Prabhupada speaks, we can know that Srila Prabhupada is speaking to us through his heart. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so very eager for people to get this message of Krishna consciousness. Shall I tell one story? On your order, Archita Prabhu. With your order will become the empowerment to speak. I hope.
We're eager to bring next to the ears, thank you very much. So please go ahead.
Your permission. Very senior godbrother. Did you know Giriraj Maharaj was the first person in ISKCON to engage me in devotional service?
Yeah.
It is a true story. When I first came to meet the devotees, by Krishna's arrangement, which appeared to me to be an accident, it was the first day of the Pando program at Cross Maidan in Bombay. And Prabhupada was coming in the evening, but I came in the day, and after meeting some devotees, getting preached to quite strongly, someone asked me, "Would you like to do some service?" And I said, "Yes." So they brought me to, at that time he was Sriman Giriraj Das Brahmachari Prabhu. And he was in charge of a table of Back to Godhead magazines. And he told me in the upper left-hand corner of each magazine to dig a hole. You remember?
Yeah.
To actually dig a hole in the corner of each Back to Godhead magazine. I was wondering, what is this digging holes in? And then he told me to take a string and tie through the hole and then tie it to the table so that people would not steal all the magazines. That was my first service to the International Society. Giriraj Swami engaged me in the service of Back to Godhead. And since then I understood that he's always, from the very beginning, he's trying to take me back to Godhead. Very patiently. Still trying.
But I can't succeed because you're already there.
You can tell by how everyone is laughing that what he just said. He's speaking very humorous jokes. One day in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought Lord Nityananda Prabhu to a secluded place under a tree. And the Lord said to Nityananda Prabhu that we have descended to this world to give everyone the chance to hear about Krishna, to chant the names of Krishna, and to purify their lives and enter into the spiritual world. That is our mission. Because my mother has ordered, I must stay here in Puri. But you, Nityananda, who are you going to benefit by just sitting here like a recluse doing your bhajan? You should go to Bengal, and like a wild man, you should preach the glories of hearing and chanting the names of Sri Krishna. So Nityananda Prabhu became very inspired. He took that order as his very life and soul. And Lord Chaitanya gave him some of his best associates to accompany Nityananda Prabhu to go back to Bengal. They began their journey. Nityananda Prabhu, just at the thought of fulfilling the Lord's order of bringing the ultimate compassion of Lord Chaitanya to the world, he became ecstatic, so ecstatic, that he started, as soon as they began their journey on the road, he began dancing in ecstasy and weeping, and his limbs were trembling, and his hairs were standing on end, and he was perspiring. The devotees were looking at him, and they become astounded. Then Nityananda Prabhu did something which had an extraordinary effect. With all the love and compassion in his heart, he glanced at his devotees. Upon glancing at them, he impregnated within their hearts his own love. His devotees went mad. First thing that happened, the devotee, Ramdas Abhiram, he just stood in a threefold bending form like a cowherd boy. With no flute in his hand, he appeared to be playing a flute. And he went into a trance thinking of Krishna for 9 hours. And all the devotees were just dancing and singing around him. When he finally came to consciousness, they began to move toward Bengal. There's descriptions of so many things that devotees were doing. Anyways, they were going in the direction of the Ganges. Sometimes they would turn right, sometimes they would turn left. They really didn't know where they were going. They were so engrossed in the chanting of the holy names, they forgot that they even had bodies, what to speak, where their bodies were going. So after walking or dancing and singing for 2 hours, they asked a local person, which is the way to the Ganga? The local person cried out, Hi! You're going the opposite direction. You have to go 2 hours back that way. So they all smiled and laughed and followed his instruction. They went 2 hours that way. At least, that was their plan. But within a few minutes, they went left, they went right, they went forward, they went backwards, they went in circles, they were having kirtan. So they saw a local person, and they asked, which is the way to the Ganga? Hi! You have to go 20 miles the other way. So they smiled, and they laughed, and they started going the other way. They were chanting, they were dancing. After some time, they asked someone, which is the way to the Ganga? They said, Hi! It's hours and hours the other way. And they left. And they continued the chanting of the holy names. Somehow or other, they came to Bengal. They arrived on the bank of the Ganges in the great holy place called Paniyati. And none of them knew how they got there. All they knew was Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When they arrived at Panihati, Raghava Pandit, very great devotee, and his sister Damayanti, they were so dear to Lord Chaitanya. It is said whenever they cooked in their kitchen, Srimati Radharani would personally incarnate in the kitchen to cook through their hands. Therefore, anything they cooked tastes like nectar. Such devotion. Raghava Pandit welcomed them. Lord Chaitanya and our Lord Nityananda Prabhu first took darshan of his deities, Madan Gopal, then came into the courtyard and sat on the throne of Vishnu and told devotees to perform Abhishekam for him. So they did Abhishek. And then he said to Raghava Pandit, "Please, I'm very fond of Kadamba flowers. Bring me immediately a garland of Kadamba flowers." Raghava Pandit said, "This is not the season for Kadamba flowers. And besides that, there's no Kadamba trees around here." Lord Chaitanya said, "Go into your garden and see. Maybe you'll find some Kadamba flowers." Raghava Pandit had faith in Nityananda Prabhu. He went into his garden. He saw peerless, immensely fragrant Kadamba flowers by the hundreds growing on a lime tree. Each one of those Kadamba flowers, their beauty, golden color, which is compared to Srimati Radharani's complexion, and the fragrance was so spiritually surcharged that anyone who saw or smelled a single one of those Kadamba flowers would be forever relieved of all the sufferings of material existence and attain devotion to Krishna. So he carefully strung a garland of Kadamba flowers and offered it to Nityananda. He was very happy. Then the Lord said, "Please perform Sankirtan." The devotees began to chant. Something very mysterious happened. Very mysterious. The devotees were looking around, bewildered. Would you like to know what it was? There was an all-pervading fragrance of the sweet flower called Damanaka. But there's a problem here. Damanaka trees do not exist in all of Bengal. They're only in Orissa, near Jagannath Puri. So Nityananda Prabhu began to laugh. He said, "Do you all smell this fragrance of Damanaka flowers?" They said, "Yes, it's everywhere. It's intoxicating us. Where is it coming from?" He said, "I will disclose to you the mystery." He said, "Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is wearing a garland of Damanaka flowers in Puri, he has come here and he has manifested himself in one of these trees just to hear your chanting and watch you dancing. And you can smell the garland that is around him." So the devotees became very excited about this kirtan. Do you know who Nityananda Prabhu, one of his very favorite kirtan leaders, were? His name was Madhava Ghosh. There were three brothers, Vasudev Ghosh, Govinda Ghosh, and Madhava Ghosh. When they would sing kirtan, they're actually eternal kirtan singers from the spiritual world, Vrindavan. Madhava Ghosh would sing sweet, sweet songs glorifying the love of Vrindavan, the love of Krishna and the gopis and the gopis. And these were the favorite songs of Nityananda Prabhu. So he had Madhava Ghosh singing and singing and singing, and mridangas were playing, karakas were chiming. Nityananda Prabhu became intoxicated with ecstatic love. And then he again glanced upon the devotees. Any devotee he glanced on immediately just went completely into a submersion of ecstasy. He glanced on one devotee. The devotee started chanting so loud, he was roaring. And then he danced glanced up a tree. This is the power of Nityananda's glance. He danced up a tree, to the top of a tree. Then he started dancing along the branches of the tree, way up. Then he started dancing on the twigs and the leaves and the flowers. And the tree didn't break. And he didn't fall down. He was just dancing. And then so many devotees getting Nityananda's glance started dancing up trees, and they were all dancing on the leaves and the twigs way high in the trees. And some of them screamed out, "I am a cowherd boy!" and jumped down from the top of a tree and continued their dancing. Nityananda Prabhu glanced at another devotee, and that devotee actually was so intimately compassionate with love, that as he was dancing, he just embraced a big tree. He just embraced it with affection. But because he was dancing, the tree uprooted. And he was just dancing around with the tree in his arms. Full-grown tree. And another devotee, he was so affectionate to the trees that as he was dancing, he was just embracing one after another of betel nut trees. And he had about 10 trees in his arms dancing with them, uprooted. Now we can understand that these trees were liberated. These trees never had to take birth again in this material world. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, whoever he glanced upon, their body became more beautiful than Cupid. The fragrance of their body was like nectar. Anyone that those persons touched would become electrified with love of God. It was like an electric current. Nityananda Prabhu ki jai! This kirtan went on just like this, day after day after day. Sometimes Nityananda Prabhu would just cast his glance across the courtyard from one devotee to another, and each one of them, upon being touched by his eyesight, fell unconscious. So it was like a hurricane just knocking down trees. The devotee was sort of just going, doo, 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 doo. And then again, he would glance upon them and revive them, and they would dance in ecstatic love. And sometimes he got up and danced. How beautiful. Even the passers-by, even the ordinary people, atheists, agnostics, even blasphemers, anybody who came to see this kirtan of Nityananda Prabhu became overwhelmed. And they all joined in the chanting and dancing in great devotion. This kirtan continued non-stop for 3 months. No one ate anything. No one drank water. And no one fell asleep. Though I could see that many of you are falling asleep. Kiriraj Swami glances upon me, maybe I will be able to keep you awake. During this 3 months, sometimes Nityananda Prabhu would go out of the courtyard into the villages. And everyone he would see would just forget their homes, forget their obligations, forget all their anxieties. The only thing they could remember is Krishna's holy names. They just joined the kirtan. Nityananda Prabhu saw some little ordinary children, like this little child that's sleeping here. You can't see him, but he's about this big. These little children. He glanced upon them and told him, chant Hari Hari. And the children started roaring with the volume of many lions. They were roaring, "I am a cowherd boy!" And then they would uproot trees and dance with them. The parents, they didn't know what to do with these children. For 1 month, the children didn't eat, sleep, or drink water. They were just dancing and roaring in ecstasy. Tears flowing from their eyes in love of God. This is a true story, my friends. The power of the Lord's mercy when he incarnates in this world. Lord Nityananda Prabhu came to the village of one of his very dear disciples, Gadadhar Das. Gadadhar Das was such a devotee that he had such intimate love, we cannot imitate such devotees. You'll know when I tell you some of these stories. He would sometimes see a tiger in the forest and chase after the tiger. Usually tigers chase after people. Chase after the tiger and grab the tiger. Sometimes ride on the tiger. Sometimes pull the tiger's tail and tell him, chant the names of Krishna. And the tiger would chant. Sometimes he would pick up pythons and cobras and put them on his lap. It's like a little boy playing with playthings as he was chanting the holy names. But these things are not significant compared to the story you are about to hear. There was a Qazi who ruled over that province. This Qazi was a fanatic who hated Hindus. He was really a sectarian, racist, cruel-hearted person. If anyone was caught chanting the names of the Lord in public or anywhere, he would torture them and often murder them. He was such a sinful person that any pious person just avoided him by any possible means. If his shadow touched somebody, people would just consider themselves so desperately contaminated, they would run and jump in the closest river. This is how much people feared him. He was so hateful, so violent, so cruel. The meditation of any Hindu was just to stay away from him. So one night, in the middle of the night, Gadadhar Das just felt such an upsurge of compassion because he had been glanced upon by Nityananda Prabhu. That he was chanting the holy names as loud as possible. He was roaring out the holy names of Krishna. And he danced right into the Qazi's house in the middle of the night. And the Qazi's friends, relatives, and soldiers, ministers, and soldiers and guards were all there. The guards had deadly weapons in their hands. And Gadadhar Das, right in the living room of the Qazi, just was amongst all of them and was dancing and chanting. Now this was against the law. This was a criminal offense. But he was so fearless and so full of love that the family members and the armed guards, they just didn't know what to do. They were utterly bewildered. And then Gadadhar Das roared with the volume of thunder. He said, "Where is Qazi? Where is Qazi? Qazi, you are a rascal! Unless you chant the names of Hari, I will cut off your head!" Now, Qazi was sleeping in the next room. And he woke up to this. Gadadhar Das was continuously screaming out, "Kazi, you rascal! Chant Hari, or I will sever your wretched head!" Kazi was so angry. He was fuming with rage. He came running out to kill this offender. And he saw Gadadhar Das just dancing and smiling. Just seeing Gadadhar Das, Kazi's heart became calm. The Kazi asked him, "Gadadhar, it's the middle of the night. What are you doing here?" And Gadadhar, with great enthusiasm, he said, "Kazi, I have come to discuss something with you." He said, "The Supreme Personality has Godhead has descended into this world in the age of Kali as Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya. They have to come to deliver all the fallen souls of this age through the chanting of the holy names of Lord Hari. And I see that everyone is chanting the holy names of Hari except you, wretched Kazi. So I have come to tell you on behalf of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu to chant the names of Sri Hari." The Kazi heard this. He was astounded anyone could preach to him like this. He said, "Gadadhar, it's late at night." He said, "Just go home. Just please go home. Tomorrow I'll chant the names of Hari Hari." When Gadadhar heard this, he began to leap into air jubilantly. He said, "Why do you say tomorrow? Today you said Hari Hari. Therefore, you are free of all your sins. You are liberated. You have accepted Krishna's mercy. The Kazi has chanted Hari 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 Hari." He was dancing all over the house. The Kazi was watching. Didn't know what to do. He's dancing and dancing all over the Kazi's house, the family member. And then he just looked back at the Kazi, smiled, and danced right out the door. This is the power of Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. The greatest compassion that anyone could give in this world is to help a person to realize one's constitutional nature as a loving service of Lord Krishna. When the Lord personally descended, there's a beautiful song by Narottam Das Thakur. Prajendra Nandana Jai Sachishu Dhali Lose Balarama Hoi Lolitai. The Lord Krishna, the son of Nanda, has come as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Sachi. And Sri Balaramji is descended as Nityananda Prabhu. Dinahinayatachilo Harinamutarilo Tara Sakshi Jagarvatam. And they have come with the weapon of the holy name to deliver anyone and everyone who simply accepts it sincerely with faith and chants under proper direction. Even the most atheistic sinners like Jagai and Madhai can attain the ultimate perfection of life through hearing and chanting the names and glories of the Lord. When the Lord appeared personally as the Yugavatar, he demonstrated such extraordinary potency in delivering the fallen souls. And through parampara, he has invested his mercy. So throughout the ages, loving, compassionate personalities have sacrificed their lives to give others the chance to love Krishna, the innermost need of every soul. Srila Prabhupada, he came to this country of America, to California, and factually to every major continent of the world to make this mercy accessible by giving us the holy name, by giving us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. And one of the greatest, most special benedictions Prabhupada has given us is the association of his intimate, empowered associates, like His Holiness Giriraj Swami. Giriraj Maharaj Ki Jai. Thank you very much.
Where did the story come from?
Which story? Oh, they're from Vrindavan Das Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya Lila. I think it's chapter 5 or 6, something like that. Actually, it came from Giriraj Swami's glance.
Remember when we visited Radhika Pandit's house with you?
Yeah.
Very memorable. Told some of the story there. But sitting next to you, I'm feeling the effusion of your spiritual energy. I can believe that story. It's true. I could feel your spiritual energy working on me, so I could imagine the same thing happened with Gadadhar Das and the Kazi. It's true.
Your jokes are making them laugh pretty nicely.
It seems there's no question, so I think you should tell.
I've read a lot about the Pando Pona Kande, and Ms. Krishna's work has been a lot of sense with you. The Pando Pona Kande. I was just wondering, was that ever videotaped? Or was there a news story? Live footage?
Good question. Just in the last few months, Srinananda Prabhu of ITV compiled the footage of Srila Prabhupada in Bombay, and there is footage of the first Pandal program. And there's footage of the first Pandal, there's footage of another Pandal that we didn't stage, but that Srila Prabhupada and the devotees were invited to before the ISKCON Pandal program. There's footage of Srila Prabhupada laying the cornerstone for the Temple of Juhu. There's footage of Srila Prabhupada walking on Juhu Beach, speaking with disciples. There's footage of Srila Prabhupada speaking informally on one of the rooftops of the old buildings at Juhu. And there's footage of the last Bombay Pandal program. And then there's footage of two initiation ceremonies
an early one where His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj is one of the readers. He's reading the Krishna book. And at that ceremony, devotee Haridas was initiated, and one householder devotee named Manmohan Das, who lives in Jaipur now, he was initiated, and one lady devotee, Gandiva, was initiated. And then there was another group of initiations right before, well, concurrent with the last Pandav program. And then there's some footage also of kirtans in the old little temple, and there's one where His Holiness Lokanath Swami is sort of like Maharaj described about the associates of Nityananda Prabhu just going back and forth in front of Srila Prabhupada. So that is available. That is available. Well, there's a whole series of DVDs, so it's included there, sort of an earlier version, and then there's an expanded version that's available as a single Prabhupada image. Yes. Yeah, I'd never seen much of the footage myself. It's very inspiring. Maybe sometime we could have a video show here.
Can you kind of give us some insight on how to acquire the land? It's called acquire the land.
He's asking if I can give some insight into how Srila Prabhupada acquired the land of Juhu. Now that is a story that we could discuss for hours and days and months and years. So rather than try to repeat the history, which is impossible to repeat within the time we have, I will explain the principle of how we got the land, according to Srila Prabhupada. One evening at 7 o'clock, Srila Prabhupada was on the terrace of one of the old buildings at the back, and Haridas Prabhu was fanning him. The two of them were alone. And at 7 o'clock, Srila Prabhupada asked Haridas, did you hear that? I just said no. Prabhupada said, you didn't hear that? Maridas said no. I said, well, that's the point. There's no sound of kirtan coming from the temple. It's 7 o'clock in the evening, and there's no sound of kirtan coming from the temple. Where are the devotees? So Haridas imagined that the devotees must have gone to the city to make life members and raise funds. They haven't gotten back yet. And Srila Prabhupada was very concerned. And he said, this was not my idea, that the devotees should go out all day and night to collect funds. He said they can go in the morning at 9 and come back in the evening about 5. And then they should, you know, gather in front of the deities and chant the holy names in front of the deities. And then he said, do you know why we were successful in the struggle for Hare Krishna land? Mr. Nair was much more powerful than we were. He had money. We didn't have money. He had influence. He had many friends in the government. He had been the sheriff of Bombay. We had no influence. Materially, he was much more powerful than we were. But we were successful, and he was not. What is the reason? And then Srila Prabhupada said, the reason is that we were working to please Krishna. And by pleasing Krishna, we got Krishna's mercy. And we were successful not by our own strength, but by Krishna's mercy. So, yes, we should go out, we should meet people, we should tell them about Krishna consciousness, and we should enroll like members. But we should also gather in front of the deities and chant Hare Krishna for the deity's pleasure. And by the deity's pleasure, we will be successful, by the deity's mercy. And it's very interesting because when Srila Prabhupada first took possession of the land and was about to leave, we were at the Santa Cruz airport with him, and we had somehow gotten a VIP room. So it was Srila Prabhupada and Mrs. Nair was there, and the disciples. And we had no idea. I mean, Prabhupada had these plans of like a skyscraper building and a marble temple. And we just had no idea what to do. And, you know, we were new in India. We were young, like 20, 22. And we had no experience in the world. You know, we were students, but we didn't have any experience in the world, so we didn't know what to do. And at the airport, Madhuvisa Prabhu led a kirtan in the VIP room, and the devotees were really, literally just dancing up and down. I'm sure Prabhupada's glance also helped. And they were just dancing up and down, wildly, ecstatically. And at the end, Prabhupada said, if you go on having kirtan like this, our project will be a success. So, same idea. So maybe you should lead kirtan and glance upon us. Then our lives will be a success.